Welcome to this podcast episode from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography, published by Oxford University Press. Having listened to this life of singer and songwriter Freddie Mercury, why not visit the dictionary online at oxforddmb.com? The Oxford DMB includes biographies of 57,000 people who shaped British history from the Romans to the 21st century. The complete Oxford DMB is now freely available online at home via nearly every public library in the United Kingdom. Further details are available at oxforddmb.com. Freddie Mercury, 1946 to 1991, singer and songwriter, written by Sheila Whiteley. Freddie Mercury was born Farouk Balsara at the government hospital in Zanzibar on the 5th of September 1946, the eldest son of Bommy Balsara, civil servant, and his wife, Jer. His parents were both from Bombay and were Zoroastrians. At five, he was enrolled in the local missionary school, and his sister, Kashmira, was born in 1952. 2 years later, the family moved back to Bombay, and he was enrolled at St. Peter's, a prestigious English boarding school some 50 miles from the city. Here, Farouk took piano lessons, joined the school choir, and formed his first band, The Hectics. After studying for his O-levels, he returned briefly to Zanzibar before his family moved to England, settling at Feltham in Middlesex, where he enrolled at Isleworth Polytechnic School, supporting himself in the holidays with a variety of jobs. Having gained an A-level in art, Farouk took a course in graphic design at Ealing College of Art between 1966 and 1969. At Ealing, he met an astrophysics student and guitarist, Brian May, and a dentistry student and drummer, Roger Taylor, both of whom were playing in a group called Smile. Mercury, he changed his name to Freddie Mercury by deed poll in 1970, briefly joined a Liverpudlian group, Ibex, and then Sour Milk Sea, before forming the group Queen in 1970 with May and Taylor. They were joined in 1971 by bass player John Deacon, and the lineup of the band remained unchanged for the rest of its history. At this time, Mercury also met Mary Austin, manager of the fashionable London boutique Bieber, and lived with her for 7 years. She was to be a lifelong friend. Signed to EMI as a glam rock band, Queen scored its first success with Seven Seas of Rye, released in 1973, which peaked at number 10 in the British charts. The albums Queen 1973 and Queen 2 1974 followed with limited commercial success, due perhaps to the somewhat peculiar mix of styles and references. Both were essentially hard rock, but are notable for early examples of Mercury's wit and innuendo. Titles such as My Fairy King and The Fairy Fella's Masterstroke, both composed by Mercury, combined with his use of falsetto, implied an underlying sexual ambiguity. This ambiguity, a characteristic of many glam rock musicians, stood in sharp contrast to the vigorous heterosexuality of traditional rock and popular music. The band also had its first American tour supporting Mott the Hoople, but the audience initially regarded them as a joke, responding with humour to the musicians' glam rock, Zandra Rhodes silks, nail varnish and makeup. The band's first major success came in 1974 with the release of the Sheer Heart Attack album, which contained the number 2 British chart single, Killer Queen, written by Mercury, and notable for its studio mix and feel for narrative, it gave Queen its first American top 20 hit, became the gay anthem for the winter of 1974, and gained an Ivor Novello Award for Mercury. The album cover was particularly striking, with a photograph of the members of the band collapsed in a heap, Mercury's trousers undone, and black nail varnish on his left hand, against a black background with gaudy red lettering, which reinforced the ambiguities already surrounding Mercury's image as a macho rock hero, blending showmanship with high camp. Queen, however, was never perceived as a gay band, and Mercury's campery was regarded by its growing number of fans as evidence of a flair for theatricality, treading the line between the outrageous and bad taste. Mercury's adoption of the Union flag, which was often emblazoned on his jackets or draped around his shoulders, and his wearing of a crown and ermine-trimmed robes, led to mass singing of God Save the Queen, even before the band recorded a version in 1975. Queen's final breakthrough was made in 1975 with the release of A Night at the Opera, which took its title from the classic Marx Brothers film. The pre-release publicity for the album emphasised its considerable production costs, £35,000, the 3 months it took to record, and the use of 6 different recording studios for its completion. Its most important track was Bohemian Rhapsody, which heralded what was to become Mercury's performance hallmark, an operatic vocal style. It lasted just short of 6 minutes, and hence twice the length of an average single, had 3 tempo changes, and featured a pseudo-operatic passage of contrived pathos. Consequently, Queen's record company was initially reluctant to issue the track as a single. But it was taken up by the disc jockey Kenny Everett and reached number 1 in the British and number 9 in the American charts. It won Queen its first platinum disc, gained a 2nd Ivor Novello Award for Mercury, and at the 1977 Brit Awards was named joint best single of the preceding 25 years with Procol Harum's A Whiter Shade of Pale. Bohemian Rhapsody was also accompanied by one of the first promotional videos, with Mercury camping it up in a parody of the Polish pianist Paderewski, hunched over a grand piano, which he played with excessive gestures. As Queen's popularity broadened, they became prime movers in stadium rock. Spectacularly lit and costumed performances for huge audiences in increasingly large venues. These gave full scope to Freddie Mercury's commanding stage presence and idiosyncratic use of his detachable microphone stand. He was able to project both music and image to vast audiences, many of whom could see the stage only by virtue of live relay video screens. On it, they would see Mercury, in the words of the Times newspaper, prancing down multi-layered catwalks in a sequined, skin-tight jumpsuit and ballet slippers, preening his way through a myriad of costume changes and singing in his majestic, slightly frayed tenor voice. The appeal of the band was international. A concert in February 1981 at Sao Paulo, Brazil, for example, was attended by a record audience for a rock concert of 231,000 people. In addition to his work with Queen, Freddie Mercury had a solo career which began in 1973 when he released a version of the Beach Boys' song I Can Hear Music under the name Larry Lurex. His first solo hit was in 1984 with Love Kills from the soundtrack to the film Metropolis. His next single, I Was Born to Love You, reached the British Top 20 in 1985, and in 1987, a kitsch revival of the Platters' Great Pretender reached the British Top 5. Later that year, he teamed up with the opera singer Montserrat Caballé, whom he had long admired, for the Top 10 success Barcelona. An album of the same title appeared in 1988, and Mercury and Caballé appeared live in Barcelona on the 8th of October 1988. It was to be Mercury's last performance on stage. Meanwhile, Queen's hits continued unabated into the 1980s, including We Will Rock You, Radio Gaga, and I Want to Break Free, which was reputed to have been adopted by the then incarcerated Nelson Mandela as the anthem of the African National Congress. The Game, 1980, was Queen's first album to reach number one in the American charts, and one of its tracks, Another One Bites the Dust by John Deacon, stayed at the top of the American singles charts for 5 weeks and sold 3 million copies. Like several other Queen songs, notably We Are the Champions, it became a frequently sung anthem at sporting events. In November 1980, The single from Queen's Flash Gordon soundtrack album also broke new ground in incorporating snippets of dialogue from the film of the same name. Mercury's talent and love of theatrical display also continued unabated. A month later, when the band performed at the National Exhibition Centre in Birmingham, Mercury was carried onto the stage on the shoulders of his minder, who was dressed as Darth Vader from the Star Wars film. Such displays also brought huge success, and by 1982 the band members were recorded as Britain's highest-paid executives. They were famous for their extravagant end-of-tour and album launch parties, where guests were flown in from around the world. However, in 1984, Queen was placed on the United Nations blacklist for having played for 8 nights at Sun City, South Africa, during the anti-apartheid cultural boycott. Its members were ostracised and heavily fined by the Musicians' Union, and were not forgiven until their appearance at the Live Aid concert organised by Bob Geldof in 1985 for famine relief in Ethiopia. Their 20-minute set was one of the highlights of the show and successfully re-presented the band to a younger audience. They then contributed to the soundtrack for the fantasy film Highlander, and the songs were released on the album A Kind of Magic, which topped the British charts in the summer of 1986 and reached the top 10 in 40 other countries. In 1990, Queen was presented with a British Phonographic Industry Award for its contribution to British music, and in 1991 released Innuendo, a celebration of the band's 20th anniversary. Queen's last single, The Show Must Go On, and the accompanying video, which showed excerpts from the previous 20 years, had a decidedly nostalgic feeling. Mercury had been ill for some time and seldom left Garden Lodge, the Kensington home which he shared with his partner Jim Hutton and their numerous cats, during his last year. The day before he died, Mercury issued a statement for my friends and fans around the world, confirming that he was suffering from an AIDS-related illness and that he had felt it correct to keep this information private to date in order to protect the privacy of those around me. He succumbed to bronchial pneumonia at his home on the 24th of November 1991. Hundreds of fans queued up outside Garden Lodge to pay their respects. Mercury's funeral took place 3 days later at the Kensal Green Crematorium, attended only by close friends and family, and was conducted according to the Zoroastrian faith of his family. The 1975 hit Bohemian Rhapsody was re-released as a double A-side with These Are the Days of Our Lives on the 9th of December and returned to the top of the charts. The royalties were donated to the HIV and AIDS charity the Terence Higgins Trust. Other tributes followed, including a concert at Wembley Stadium in April 1992, at which many major stars, including David Bowie, Elton John and Liza Minnelli, performed. In 1995, Mercury's last 7 songs were released from the archives, and the remaining members of Queen added their music and backing vocals. The album, Made in Heaven, again went to the top of the charts. The sleeve for the album showed Brian May, John Deacon and Roger Taylor in silhouette, with their backs to the camera, in the grounds of Mercury's Swiss home, Duck House, gazing across Lake Geneva, past a statue of Mercury. Having listened to this life of Freddie Mercury, why not visit the Oxford DMB online at oxforddmb.com? As well as more free podcast episodes, you'll find life stories of thousands of interesting people who shaped all aspects of British history.